أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأصل والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة دائمة على أعدائه من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المبين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ها أنتم هؤلاء تدعون لتنفقوا في سبيل الله فمنكم من يبخل ومن يبخل فإنما يبخل عن نفسه والله الغني وأنتم الفقراء وإن تتولوا يستبدل قوما غيركم ثم لا يكونوا أمثالكم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Refresh your minds and your hearts with a salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, as we begin this majlis, this grand celebration, and really one of the most important days in our calendar, I begin by first of all extending my congratulations to each and every one of you, and to our senior scholars, to the Maraji Taqleed, to all of those around the world who are awaiting the savior of humanity, who are awaiting that individual who has been promised in the previous scriptures, that same individual that every single prophet that came from God, beginning from Adam and culminating with Khatam, with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that they gave the good news to their individual respective communities that a day would come when God's rule would fill this earth, and all oppression and tyranny and injustice would be eradicated once and for all. That is the day, brothers and sisters, that we will be celebrating tonight. And it is on the 15th day of the month of Sha'ban, this blessed Islamic month, in which an individual was born into this world who would change the annals of history. A man who we have been waiting for. As a community of believers, we have been waiting since the day that we were born for this individual. Since the day he came into this world, people were wanting him to make a movement, a stand. People were hoping and praying that he would fulfill the prophecy of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, who had heard it from Rasulullah, that a man would come at the end of time and who would fill this earth with justice and equality as it would have been filled with injustice, inequality, oppression and tyranny. The same desire and longing that, again, all of the previous prophets had and that they conveyed to their followers and their communities, that although times are tough, they would tell their community that their times are difficult, but there will come a day when an individual will come who will be known as the savior of humanity, and he will remove all of the burdens and difficulties and shackles that will be imposed on the people. Tonight, as we mark this grand celebration of the birth of Imam al-Hujjah, Imam al-Mahdi, Imam Sahib al-Amr wa Akhir al-Zaman, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, may Allah hasten his noble return and his advent, we give our congratulations once again to the mu'mineen and mu'minat, and to the Maraji Taqleed on this very auspicious occasion. Tonight, for the time that I have allotted, because we have a lot happening tonight, we have obviously the A'mal, the acts of worship, A'mal-e-Ibadi, the acts of worship that we have tonight that we will be engaging in, because the night of the 15th of Sha'ban is not merely important because of the birth of the 12th Imam. This is what has given this night honor and greatness and elevated its status. It is also a night in and of itself that has importance in the heart and the calendar of the believer. It is a night that is encouraged to stay awake the entire night in worship. It is a night in which it is, as some of the traditions tell us, is like Laylatul Qadr. It is a night of importance, of grandeur. It is a night where our destinies are also written, as they are in the Layali al-Qadr, in the month of Ramadan. And so obviously we want to keep our time in the majlis tonight, because obviously the acts of worship are also there. And who knows if we will have the opportunity, we make the dua that Allah allow us to reach to Ramadan. But we don't know who will make it to this next Ramadan coming up in 2 weeks. And so we will spend tonight in worship with Allah, in communion with our Creator, in connecting to Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajuhu Sharif. But before we get into that mode of wanting to communicate, to seek intermediary with Allah, to engage in tawassul to Imam Al-Zaman, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajuhu Sharif, before we get into the mode of wanting to pray to Allah, we need to know a bit about this individual, and more so about the mission and the goals, and what our role is in the movement of Imam Al-Hujjah. The verse I began with from the Noble Quran comes to us from chapter number 47, verse 38. And although the theme, as you may have guessed from the Arabic, or you, as the theme of the verse, that is, as you had, if you when you heard the Arabic, may not seem to fit in with my topic for tonight, but just hear me out in this introduction. The verse, although it speaks about, and I'll give you the translation shortly, although it speaks about giving and spending charity in the way of Allah, but the gist of the verse which I want to convey tonight as my theme in this celebration of the 12th Imam's Waladat is change or be changed. We brothers and sisters, as I said, that you know, since the day that we were born, we were being groomed and trained by our parents, by the madrasa, by the scholars, to await the return of Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. But that does not come easy. That waiting needs to be accompanied by self-introspection, looking at what the Imam requires from his followers, from his supporters. And sometimes that period of waiting is something which involves a change in our lifestyle, a change in the way that we do things. And so this verse of the Quran that I began with, Allah is speaking to a group of people who He's being asked, who they are being asked rather, to spend in the way of God. And God is telling them, look, you need to give in the way of God. And if you don't, then you're only depriving yourself of the blessings. And God says also that if you turn away from the faith and the piety and the good actions, that God will substitute you with another community. And so this is what I want to look at tonight, brothers and sisters, is change before we are changed. How can we reform ourselves to become those individuals that the 12th Imam is expecting to find when he makes his advent? And so the translation of this verse reads, "You are surely those called upon to spend of your wealth in God's cause. Yet among you are some who are miserly. But whoever is miserly only to the depriving of his own soul. God is the all-wealthy and self-sufficient, and you are the poor in need of Him. If you turn away from true faith and piety, He will substitute in your place another people, and then they will not be like you." Again, this is from chapter 47, verse number 38. Tonight, as we mark this grand celebration of the birth of the Savior of humanity, an individual who is so special that he bears the same name as the Messenger of Islam, a man who is so special that Allah has chosen to preserve him in a unique state which he had not did with the other 11 Imams that preceded him, a man who is so special that God has determined that he needs to live until a certain time before he can make his advent and show himself on a mass scale to humanity, not only to the Muslims, not only to a certain sect or segment of the Muslim community, but to the entire world of humanity. You know, today, the time that we're living in today, in terms of the Islamic understanding, is that we are in a state of intidhar. Intidhar meaning in a state of active waiting, actively waiting for the advent of Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Intidhar is not just a fancy word. It's not just a slogan or a catchword, you know, that we say we're waiting for the Imam. We are anticipating his arrival. It's not just a word. It is a state of mind that we have to evolve into. It's a state of mind we have to evolve into as individuals first and foremost, and then as a collective, as a community, as a local community, as a national community, as an international body. Intidhar means that as a community, we have transformed our state of mind into one which the Imam is looking for. And ultimately, in this era of the occultation of the Imam, which I have said in my previous talks, when I have spoken on this topic, that in a way, the ghaibah of the 12th Imam is an opportunity for us. It is a time that we, if we make the most of it, that we can actually become the best of the companions of the Imams. You know, when you and I read Islamic history, we hear about great personalities like Bilal, like Salman, like Abu Dharr, like Miqdad, like many, many hundreds of great companions of Rasulullah and companions of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhum as-salatu was-salam. We have an opportunity to be like those individuals because they were companions of the infallible of their time. We also have that ability to be companions of the infallible of our time. And maybe we have it a bit easier in the sense that at the time of the Prophet or Imams, they only had a moment's notice to determine what side of the equation they would be on. But because of the occultation of our Savior, our Imam, our infallible guide, we have been given years to make that decision and to understand and study and recognize. And so in a way, again, I say that we maybe are blessed in that way. But we have to ask ourselves that, have we developed that strong connection to the leader of our time? I'm sure that I'm speaking to people tonight who have been actively waiting the 12th Imam, who are doing all that they can to prepare the groundwork for the return of the 12th Imam, the Imam of our time, the leader of our time, and that we're doing all that we can do to lay the foundation for the fulfillment of the promise of Allah, because that is what the 12th Imam literally is. He is literally the fulfillment of the promise of Allah mentioned in the Quran in multiple ayat, not just one or two. There are many verses which speak of a promise of God for humanity, and I'll share maybe some of them later on in the talk tonight. But we are literally waiting for the fulfillment of ayat of the Quran to become manifest. People 1400 years ago did not have this luxury, brothers and sisters. They were looking at these verses and maybe were perplexed that what kind of a time would this be? You know, especially when you lived in Medina and you had the Prophet with you and you had an ideal Islamic society, and they were looking at verses which were talking about a better day. You know, they definitely could not have foreseen the situation today in 2021 and the state of the world and corruption and all the wars and famines and you know, all the evil that is happening. But we live in it nowadays, brothers and sisters. And so we need to better appreciate this Imam of ours and develop that ability to be able to help lay that foundation for the return of our 12th Imam. And you know, this is not a topic that we just are limited to in terms of the practical application of when we get to the Islamic centers, whenever they open again. But rather, this is actually for every aspect of our lives and every area of our lives, our personal life and our societal life. You know, there's a beautiful hadith, let me share it with you, from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wassalam, our sixth imam, in which he's been quoted as saying, "Man surra an yakuna min ashab al-qa'im, alayhi salam, falyantadhir wal ya'mal bil wara'i wa mahasan al-akhlaq, wa huwa muntadhirun. Fa in mata wa qama al-qa'imu, alayhi salam, ba'dahu, كان له من الأجر مثل أجر من أدركه فجدوا وانتظروا حنيا لكم أيتها العصابة المرحومة. In this beautiful tradition from Imam As-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, he has been quoted as saying that the person who would love to be one of the companions of Al-Qayyim, peace be upon him, should be in a state of active awaiting for him and ensure that their actions are carried out with precaution, al-wara'a, and they should have beautiful morals, mahasinul akhlaq, and should await al-Qa'im, should await him rather, in this way. And if they were to do so, and al-Qa'im were to make his advent after that person's death, then they would receive the same reward as the one who lived to witness him, meaning al-Qa'im. So therefore, the Imam says, O you who are blanketed in the mercy of Allah, struggle and actively await. May you be blessed to be those who are actively awaiting for the Imam. So brothers and sisters, we have it from our sixth Imam, this importance of preparing, of actively waiting the Imam. And you know, one of the things that we always have to keep in mind, young and old alike, male and female, whoever we are, is that were we to leave this world, as millions have left before us, actively waiting the 12th Imam, were we to leave this world with the intention that had we been alive, we would have been alongside of him, as the 6th Imam says, we have already received our rewards. And maybe as we say in the Dua of Ahd, that we are encouraged to recite every morning, not just for 40 mornings, but for every day of our life, that, oh God, if death was to come, death was to be the separator between me and the return of the Imam, and I don't make it to see his advent, then raise me up from my grave. So even if we were to die before the return of our Imam, but if we had the niyyah, the intention to want to be alongside of him, God willing, we will get the reward, and maybe God, and you know, if God permits, we will be brought back to life to live at the time of Imam al-Hujjah. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Salu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. For tonight, in the next 20 minutes that I want to speak, and we'll conclude, because I know, again, we have a lot of acts of worship for tonight, and some may have to go to school tomorrow, some may have to go to work tomorrow. I want to look at just two aspects of this period of intidhar of the Imam. And as I mentioned in the beginning, my topic for tonight is change or be changed. What will we do for the 12th Imam? And if we don't do it, then as God says, He will change us for another community. So the first part of my talk, out of the two topics, the two aspects of this change or be changed I want to look at, is prayer and supplication, the du'as. What I would refer to as the blueprint for change in ourselves and our community. Now, you know, brothers and sisters, that there have been hundreds of talks given, I'm sure, and I know they're online, about du'as, the power of du'a, the worth of du'a, what the philosophy of du'a is. And there are a lot of books. For example, Uddatu Da'i is a book that comes to mind, available in English. The aspire or the desire of the supplicant. It talks about the adab, the etiquette of how to make du'a. And so I don't want to rehash what's already out there. We are a community which is accustomed to du'a. Du'a tawassul on Tuesday. Du'a kumail on Thursday. Du'a nudba on Friday. Du'a samat Friday evening. We have du'as after every prayer. So we're in a we're always in a mood of du'as. It's a part of our daily regiment as a believer, from the time we wake till the time we sleep. But one of the things I want to get us to reflect upon as we talk about the 12th Imam and changing or being changed is to recognize the fact that a supplication, a du'a, is not only something that you and I read and we open the book or we open the app and we read the text and then we close it or we turn the app off. The du'a is a means to change us. The du'a is a means to change a believer. It is not only a supernatural connection to Allah that we make dua and then instantaneously, mysteriously, through a higher power, things change in our lives. Yes, there is an aspect of a change in our fate through dua, but dua, I would say, is also an opportunity for us to recognize where we have to change. You know, we have this very beautiful dua. I'm going to focus on this because this is a dua that is taught to us by our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajuhu Sharif. The dua begins by saying, Allahumma razuqna tawfiqa ta'a wa bu'ad al-ma'siyah wa irfan al-hurma. And then it goes on from there. It's a very short dua. Literally, it would take you maybe a minute, 2 minutes to read. But the quantity is not important. It's the quality of what we are reading in this dua. It's the quality of every line that the Imam is speaking about in this dua. And what makes it beautiful, obviously, is A, we're talking to Allah directly, which is all of our duas. But the fact that the 12th Imam is teaching it to us, the man whose birth we celebrate tonight, is indicative of what he is expecting from us. It's as if the Imam is saying, you know what, I want you, my fellow Shias, my followers, my supporters, men and women, young and old, I want you to imbibe certain qualities. And I want to show them to you in the text of a dua that you can ask Allah for these things. And if you look at this dua, you can go to duas.org and you can find this dua in Arabic and English. There are, if I'm not mistaken, 11 personal traits that we are asking for from Allah. And after those 11 personal traits, because, you know, as I said, this is all about change. And you and I cannot change a community until we change ourselves. You can't change the world if you can't change yourself. It's all about self-building and then community building. You can't do it the other way around. You know, that whole dilemma of what came first, the chicken or the egg, people who put the horse before the cart. You know, it's not about what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? It's about us as individuals. Are we preparing ourselves for the Imam, or do we expect the Imam to prepare us for him? And there's a big difference, brothers and sisters. We have to be those who are preparing ourselves for the Imam, or else we're going to miss the boat. And he will find other people who are more worthy, and he will take them on to be his governors and leaders and administrators and web designers and architects and engineers and clothing designers. He wants us to change so then we can be on board on his mission. He won't have time to come and change us. That's not, you know, the way things will work. And so there are 11 things that we ask for our personal selves. And I'll give you some of the examples. And then we switch to 15 groups in our community that we are looking for improvement in. You know, let me just give you a few of the examples of the personal change because time is running out. He talks in this dua about us asking Allah that our hearts could be filled with knowledge, with ilm and ma'rifah. Right? And that means knowledge of Islam, not knowledge of, you know, the secular sciences and this and that. No, the knowledge of religion. And again, as I've said probably in my past lectures, is that today in 2021, we have no excuse, or very little excuse at least, if we can't gain knowledge, because there are hundreds of books available in English, articles are there, mashallah, on Zoom and YouTube. Every day there are hours and hours of lectures that our sisters are attending, that our brothers are attending. There are lectures from all four corners of this globe. So the knowledge is available. Another personal trait we ask for in this dua is to cleanse our stomachs of the forbidden and doubtful food. Because you are what you eat. And as I've said in the past as well, that today, I don't think a single Muslim in North America at least has an excuse for not eating halal. Most, if not every major and even small city has halal options. Halal, and obviously the definition is very a specific narrow window of halal. I don't want to make it seem that anything that has a halal name on the packaging is halal that you can eat. A lot of that is doubtful. And that's an entirely different discussion for another day, but we need to, as the Imam says, clean our stomachs. Why? Because there's a connection between what we eat, how we think. The Imam goes on to say one of the personal traits is how we need to protect our eyes and our ears from sins that are around us. Not only in real life, in the physical world, but the virtual world that most of us live on nowadays because of social distancing and this isolation we've forced to endure. And then the Imam, as I said, he talks about 11 different things that you and I as individuals need to change in our lives to be considered to be amongst his camp. He then switches his attention to 15 people or 15 groups in our community that need to change and improve themselves. Because let's face it, brothers and sisters, nobody is perfect other than the 14 infallibles. And obviously even they are always improving and getting more blessings and increase from Allah, but their akhlaq is impeccable. But all of us, we need to improve in one way or another. The Imam begins by talking about the ulama, the scholars, that they should be given and endowed with piety and sincere advice. So scholars also have to work on themselves. It's not just that the masses have to change. The scholars have to change, and they know what their problems are. The scholars know what forms of human weaknesses and flaws they have in their character. It may not come out, but they know it, and they have to work at that. But the Imam also speaks about the learners of our community. Give them restraint and give them a desire to learn. He asks for those who listen, as you are listening tonight to this talk of mine. The Imam asks for our listeners to be given to have the knowledge and also the desire to follow what they hear. And this is a huge issue in and of itself that, again, you know, as you know, in the media, they're talking about Zoom fatigue. Sometimes I feel, especially in the early days when the COVID hit and everything switched online instantaneously for many communities in the world who are progressive, who have a very dynamic, active, progressive, forward-thinking, supportive executive committee who can work with the resident alims. They switched to online learning instantaneously. Unfortunately, many others in Canada were left far behind in the dust, and they continue to be left behind 1 year later. But it's not only to log into the Zoom majalis and seminars and discussions and webinars, it's to have the desire to follow what we hear. You know, it's not just in one ear, out the other. The Imam then also prays for our senior citizens, the mashayikh, as he says in the dua, to be given dignity and peace of mind. And you look at this pandemic and subhanAllah, the unfortunate plight of many of our beloved seniors who, you know, for whatever reason have been forced to be in nursing homes, long-term care facilities, because they have needs, special needs. And unfortunately, we don't have special needs homes in our communities. We have beautiful masajid for the youth, but we have no beautiful homes for our seniors to take care of them, to ensure they get halal meals cooked by Muslims, to have Muslims taking care of them, to having jamaat prayers in a nursing home for our senior citizens. And so their minds are obviously not at peace right now, brothers and sisters. They have anxiety because of COVID. They have anxiety because of so many things. And the Imam prays for the seniors. He prays for the youth that they can be given and driven to repentance and turning away from sin, because they are the future of this community. We who are getting old, who are old, we'll be dead in a few years. Let's just be blunt about it. We're going to be dead. And we'll be 6 feet under. And who will be taking care of these massive buildings we've spent millions of dollars on? It'll be the youth. And so we need to groom them. We need to train them. We need to support them. We need to love them. But they need to groom themselves and love themselves and train themselves as well. He talks about giving the women, or having our women of our community, to have haya and iffa, modesty and chastity, to be chaste women. And that's a huge topic in and of itself. and one that opens a can of worms in Pandora's box, which I'm not afraid to open. But this is not the venue for tonight, because it's a massive topic. We have to look at it in a very holistic perspective and in a very careful point of view. But the point is, and let me just end this in the next minute and move on to my second point before I conclude, is that it's all about reading du'as with an intention to change ourselves. Allah will not say, oh, my servant in Vancouver read a du'a, now I'm going to sprinkle some dust on their head and they will change. No, the du'a is a way for us to change by reading it with understanding, if that means translation, and commentary if need be, and looking to pick up some points from the du'as and change ourselves. Change for the better, for us to become ready to assist the 12th Imam, if we actually aspire for that, if that is our goal, if that is what our forward-looking project is for life, to be a servant of the Imam. The second point, and I will make this short and conclude for tonight, is to have a positive outlook on the future of humanity. You know, a true believer, man or woman, is always hopeful and optimistic for the future. Despite the challenges and the apparent setbacks that we currently are facing, especially in this COVID-19 pandemic, and that we have always have ups and downs in life, it's never a smooth ride, it's never all good in the hood. There are always ups and downs we will face in different ways, and each of us will face our own challenges. But to be optimistic of a brighter day ahead of us. You know, the world, as you and I know, you just have to look online, is becoming filled with more and more bad news, more corruption at many different levels, at our governmental level, at the federal level, at our provincial level, or a local level. There's so much corruption happening, and a politician will do something completely immoral, and they'll just have to apologize and maybe pay back a few hundred or a few thousand dollars, and things go back to normal. We forget about it, and we vote them into office again. So corruption is there. You know, the craziness of this world is such that people who are living in quote-unquote civil societies have become more and more like wild animals. You know, if you watch these videos on Nat Geo of a wild animal in the forest attacking like a deer or another animal for lunch, this is what human beings have got to. You look at what happened in the early days of the pandemic, the rush to buy toilet paper, that it was sold out at every store across the country, across North America. And then you look at the Muslim world, and you know there's videos and pictures coming out that the people are shopping just like normal. They're not stocking up on 500 rolls of toilet paper and literally fighting people in the shopping centers, in the malls, in the grocery stores for an 8-pack of toilet paper, or emptying the shelves of water and meat and juice and dry goods. They were wild animals on TV. It was just like you're watching National Geographic, right? But you know, you're watching somebody in a big box store, right? As a beast trying to consume other human beings. So as a believer and a follower of Ali Muhammad alayhi salam, we recognize that after all of these challenges, after all of these difficulties, things will get better. And that's what gives you and I hope in the future. It keeps us moving forward. We don't let it get us down, or we shouldn't let it get us down, because we fly on two wings of hope and fear. Yes, we have fear. Nobody is going to say, don't be worried about the COVID pandemic or whatever happens and whatever other pandemics or whatever happen in the future. No, we have a concern, and we live our life wisely. But we hope for the best. And that's the wings. That's how a believer flies. You know, hope is something that God gives us in the Quran so many times. Whether it's hope in His rahmah, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of God. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuban jami'an. Indeed, God forgives the sins, each and every one of them. God tells us even in the Quran in chapter 28, verse 5, a very beautiful verse of hope for, you know, the era that we live in, for the times of the Fir'aun, and the people who are suffering under the pharaonic regime, for the people who suffered under the despotic Nimrud at the time of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, for the people who suffered during the time of Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus, may God bless him, for the people who suffered during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by dealing with the mushrikeen of Quraysh and the people of Ahlul Kitab who were hell-bent on destroying Islam, for the people who are living today in countries that are being bombed to smithereens like Yemen, like Syria, like what we see happening in Burma, like what we see happening in Latin America, like what we see happening on the streets of any major city of North America, the homeless. God gave us a promise where He said, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. He gave us hope. That is what the 12th Imam is about. Hope, umid. Hope for a better day, for a brighter day, for the sun to come from behind the clouds and shine and give us its full light and glory and magnificence. What does Allah say in this beautiful verse? He says, and we willed, wanuridu, the present tense / future tense verb, and we have willed to favor those who were weak in the earth, who were deemed to be weak, الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and we would make them the leaders, and that we would make them the inheritors of this land. Allah again presents this promise, this hope for a better ideal future, for what we refer to in the dua in month of Ramadan, which is 2 weeks away. Every night when we gather for dua iftitah, we'll recite a very beautiful dua where we talk about the fact that we're waiting that beautiful state, that beautiful governance of the 12th Imam. Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin karimatin tu'izzu biha al-islama wa ahla wa tuzillu biha nifaka wa ahla wa taj'aluna fiha min ad-du'ati ila ta'atik wal qadati ila sabilik wa tarzukna biha karamat ad-dunya wal akhirah. We ask Allah for that honored and desired state, that governance of Islam over earth. This is the promise of God. He will give it to us. And He provides us with hope. Three levels of hope in this verse, brothers and sisters. Three hopes for a better future. One is that He says he had the intention to bestow a favor to those who are deemed weak in the land. They're not weak. We're not weak as Muslims unless we make ourselves weak. We cannot be pushed over unless we let somebody push us over. We're not chumps unless we let people make us to be the chump. No, we may look like we're weak, but we have strength. We have strength in numbers. And we have numbers, brothers and sisters. We're 1/5 of the earth's population. Regardless of the differences between Shia and Sunnah, we have strength in numbers. But we have to channel that energy. Allah makes a second promise of hope in this verse. He will make the weak the leaders over the society. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. The weak will inherit the earth, as the Bible is quoted as saying from Prophet Jesus, عَلَى نَبِيَنَا وَعَلِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And the third promise of hope, or the third glimmer of hope God gives to you and I, as we celebrate the birth of the hope of humanity, is that the weak will inherit the earth. The weak should govern the earth. Because for too long, despots have governed. For too long, celebrities have ruled countries. For too long, people with no qualifications have governed over us and have given us nothing but misery in return. Have taken our money, taken our everything, taken our dignity, our self-respect, and given us nothing in return. And so, brothers and sisters, as I conclude in the next minute and a half, this positive outlook that we need to have on life, this positive outlook by recognizing the fact that Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, will make things better, but that we need to be ready to change, otherwise we will be changed. This positive outlook will ensure that we engage in self-building and self-purification. and doing the best that we can do to become the best that we can be in all aspects of our lives. Rather than just simply giving up and saying, what can we do? We just throw our hands up in the air and go with the status quo, go with the flow. YOLO, as the kids would say, you know, you only live once, just live and do what you want to do. No, rather than giving up and just, you know, following the status quo and living life like everybody else in society, we need to recognize that we need to have hope. And these verses of the Quran give us great hope in a future. Yes, the pre-Imam Mahdi alayhi salam time is difficult. The time of his advent, his dhuhr, when he first makes the return, will be very difficult, I would say. But after the victory of the Imam and the victory of Islam, things will change. Things will be much better. Things will be much different. Change will come, brothers and sisters. Change is gonna come. Whether you and I like it or not, the world is moving on, the world is progressing, the world is changing. And the plans that Allah has in place for humanity, they will not be done by miraculous nature. It won't be a snap of the fingers and things change. No, it's through our hard work. Our hard work and the leadership of our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. So as I conclude for tonight, let me once again extend my congratulations to each and every one of you, to all of those who are working to change their lives, to become the ideal individual and community and family awaiting the Imam of the time. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins on this night of the 15th of Sha'aban, the night of destiny. And I ask each and every one of you as we get ready to perform the acts of ibadah, the amal tonight, to remember your local community in your du'as, remember your family. Even if you have grudges with a family member, forget about them tonight. Forget about them forever, really. Resolve to forgive them and make a prayer that they forgive you. Remember to pray for the community. Remember to pray for the brothers and sisters who are in hospitals, who are in long-term care facilities. Remember to pray for all of those who have nobody to pray for them. Make dua for the betterment of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Make dua for the safety of our 12th Imam. Make dua for the safety of all of those who are serving the cause of our 12th Imam. Let us conclude by, again, as we always do, remember the marhumin who are no longer with us today, who may have been with us last year on the 15th of Sha'aban. Let's remember them tonight with a suratul mubarakatul fatiha. But before that, can I ask all of you to recite aloud salawat upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad and gift it to the beloved mother of our 12th and awaited Savior. Let her also have the thawab of this beautiful night that she delivered the Savior of humanity. Let us recite a surah Fatiha, but before that, a loud salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad for the thawab of Hazrat Narjis Khatun alayha salatu wa salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladhina anamta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladhalin. Eidukum Mubarak. May each and every one of you have a blessed 15th of Sha'aban. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.